The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7, and go out to motivationandmuscle.com and check out, or basically download, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's a free ebook, 10 paragraphs with 5 bullet points to it now. That's all new. Also, our 30-day program. If you like when we talk about rack work here, and it seems like everybody does, I took 2 conventional lifts, the squat and the bench press, and mixed the we did a 3-day program with this. Squatting, I believe I like doing that the first day of the week. If I'm going to do that, you're going to do your conventional squat, and obviously you're going to get in a power rack and you're going to take it at top position and stand up and lock it out. On the middle of the week, I did a major sandbag routine, and this routine, one of the movements I do in it and give you is the one I use to lift stones. And this is pretty interesting, because whether you're going 10 feet, 20 feet, 90 feet with it, we constantly drop it every so many feet. You have to reset, pick it up. We also mix in heavier sandbags where they're always at different perimeters of wherever we're doing this. So it allows you to go with a heavier, come back, drop that, go with a lighter one again. It is really a hell of a form of endurance. And the greatest thing is, your fingers will get worked to the bone. And when I bring Ned Norton in here, we were just talking all about stone lifting before we came on. And just go and try to keep lifting bags of sand that are shifting on you all the time. It's a real interesting prospect. And then on the Friday, you would be doing the conventional bench press, and then you would go into the power rack and do lockouts. So besides mixing in a little grip and some neck work, which I'm very big on, you got yourself a program that you could do and add on for the rest of your life if you wanted to. So go out. All you got to do is give us your email. You get them. Also, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Those are the 2 biggest products to date. Right now, you can get them both for nothing. All you got to do is sign up. You give us your email address. You get to download 4 things. It's all on us. And if you need any help with anything, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Like I said, we have Ned on with us. I did a show with Ned. It had to be at least 6 or 8 months ago. And we're going to have another one out there. Like I say on every show, we have more content than anybody out there, and the content's free. I don't know what it would cost just to have a book written by some of the people that I've done shows with over the last 1-2 years, and we hope Ned will be doing a lot more with us when he's got the time. This is the real world stuff, man. You're hearing guys and girls here that are out in the field that have had the setbacks, that have had the injuries, that have had the triumphs. It's all there for you. We got a lot of younger kids listening to the show now. Rather than waste your time on Facebook, come here and get the real deal. And not only that, you've got people here that would love to work with you if you need the help. It's all there. We've got people, the oldest person I know was 80 years old that listens to this show. And what I'm getting now, why we started doing the short 5 for 15s, was this. Not only do a lot of people like to listen to it when they go to work and come home, but a lot of people walk, and I'm getting notes from people saying, I listen to your show when I walk. I don't weightlift, but we love to listen the back and forth and how inspiring things are. And I thank everybody for that, because that's quite a compliment when you can capture people that are just walking. And, you know, walking is a great thing to do. So I want to thank everybody for that. I think that is it. But like I said, we got a good friend, a brother to me as far as I'm concerned. We got Ned Norton on here. I go back decades with Ned, basically to the old Steel Pier. Well, I was even at the Y for a little while where he started out. Steel Pier, where we were always getting in trouble with some bigger guys, or, you know, they wanted to kick your ass, basically. It ended up in a place called Colony Athletic, which was to this day the biggest gym I've ever been in. And it was a good place at one time, and it was like everything. The wrong people got it and destroyed it. And who knows if I'd even still be there now. I don't know. But I got a lot of memories there. I've got a lot of their equipment sitting in my garage. I probably got at least 10,000 pounds of their weights here, too. We've got my brother Mark's got the old calf machine, the standing one. He's got the seated press. I'm trying to think. I've got that. What do I got? I think I got the power rack, the plates. I got a lot of the rubber. There's probably other stuff in there, but it's great.
You got the black power rack in the back?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Was my rack, man.
Well, you don't even live a quarter mile from me. Knock on the door, you can go use it. That thing is sick, and it's all lagged through the floor, Ned. It's all through the floor, everything. So I'm going to give you a little information about Ned. Number one, this is a big thing. He's a trainer for the Warriors on Wheels, which I totally respect. Ned's been on television. He's been in newspapers. That's what made me reach out and contact him again, but I have before, but it's just been we played hit and miss. You know, we're going to talk about that. He is a lifetime weightlifter and strength athlete, and he's a hell of a speaker, and he's a real good guy who's generous with his time. Ned, welcome back to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks, Big E. Anytime.
Well, anything I missed, give it out. You know, I know you got a website. I didn't give it out. Give that out. Anything you got coming up. And Ned and I are going to talk about the basic builders here. You know, the squat, deadlift. If you're a bench presser, obviously overhead. And it will morph into other things. But we're going to talk about how essentially important it is to build your foundation. So give me the website and anything else you got, and we'll start.
Yeah, our website's warriorsonwheels.org, and it'll give you all the information on what we do and projects we're involved in.
Well,
let's talk about lifting.
Okay, well, one thing I want you to do, obviously, this is what I've wanted to ask you before we get into the show. The men and women that you deal with that, you know, we get into the mental end of things big time, and we see how a lot of people crumble easy, and society now raises weakness. We know that. We see that in kids, you know, adults, you know, middle adults, whatever you want to call them. What is it about these men and women that's so damn unique that they can come in there and, let's face it, they're facing things that most people will never face. What is it about them mentally that you see which is so different with them, man?
Well, you're so right. I was just talking. I do the PT at the Fire Academy for the Albany and Troy new firefighters. Me and the older guys that were instructors were talking about today, nowadays, you know, and we all hate to sound like old guys, but we're not. We're telling the truth that the young people of today just can't seem to handle any adversity.
Yep.
I mean, they've been raised where they got participation medals and trophies for just showing up and kept from dealing with adversity by their parents that it's really weakened their whole generation. And like with the people that I work with, I don't really deal with any of that because just the fact that they're showing up shows you that, you know, not only are they dealing with adversity, they're looking to destroy adversity, you know? You know, I'm guilty of it myself too, Eric, and you would be too.
Yep.
You know, we all have our days.
Yep.
You know, when I'm pissed off at the world over some stupid shit, somebody cut me off on Delaware Avenue or whatever. You know, I go there and, you know, I'm miserable, and then I see, you know, people that are dealing with things that I can't even comprehend what it's like to be like them.
Yep.
And man, they're just so strong mentally. And, you know, I tell you what, they got that strength anyway, but once they get into the iron, you know how that iron gives you some, that inner strength that only people who do it for real understand.
Yep.
You know, it's like jet fuel to them.
Yeah.
So, it's awesome.
Well, you know, the thing is too, we get into this so many times with everybody, and you know, I was telling Ned, I talked to Clint Darden today, who's one of our favorites here. He he's got such a unique way, and he's done so many things. And we just got talking today a little bit about how the Stones speak to us, and it was a really, really interesting show. I mean, when you sit back and really listen to it, you're going to be like, you know, at first I wasn't sure, but it makes sense. And the thing that I feel is being a weightlifter, and it's not just lifting. We've gotten to this before, and I want your comment. It's going to be an interesting thing, and I'm sure you've thought about this and talked about it. Just because you lift, now I'm talking about I get in this discussion with a lot of people every which way. They'll say to me, blah, blah, blah about lifting. And I'll say, just because I left the garage or the driveway or wherever I went to train, it's not away from me. And they're like, what do you mean by that? I was like, how can something that I've bared my skin on, my blood on, I've torn a bicep with, leave me when I leave the gym? I said, it's always with me. It's part of me now. And we were talking about that today with the Stones. I've always been very interested in, I know three people that have lifted the Husafell Stone, and my contention has been always, who's lifted this before me? Whose DNA is going into my body, because we all sweat on that stone? And is that in my blood? Yes, it is, because I'm telling you right now, those people have done that prior to me. I can't even imagine what they were, how strong they were, or whatever. And to me, this is what it's all about. Whatever you're touching, whatever you're doing, everybody thinks the steel plates aren't alive, the stones aren't. They all have a vibration to them. If you go out and read about vibration, what's around you, who's touched it, it all does. I totally believe that. And when I tell people that, they look at you like you got three heads. But if you think about it and you're really in the physical strength, physical culture, you understand what I'm talking about, because I leave the gym. I'm not lifting weights when I'm driving my car or any of that. But the thing is, it's still embedded in my body and it's never going to leave. Yeah, maybe I gotta temper it down a little bit, like Ned said, though. Somebody cuts you off on Delaware Ave, you want to pull up, get out of your truck, and just rip their friggin' head off, right? So, you know, that's the thing. But it's an understanding and a whole thing that we do to prepare for what we do. And when we leave the gym, all right, what are you trying to do? Well, you want to restore yourself. What are you doing? Well, sleep is still the best thing. I don't care what anybody says. I've got stim machines and all that too. Yeah, it all helps out. Chiropractic, tape, the whole deal. But you got to eat, you've got to sleep, and you got to try to think good thoughts. Because I can tell you, sitting here doing this at times, I could almost fall asleep, because it's like you've hammered yourself so hard and you're trying to do a lot of mental things. But you know what? You always get through it, and you build the capacity. This is the biggest thing, I think, to be able to take more on. And as I say, if it hits you down a million times, you get back up and hit it 3 million times backwards. So, Ned,
I totally agree with that,
yeah,
Eric. You know,
yeah.
The one thing you learn, and it doesn't, you don't learn it, it takes years to learn it.
Yeah.
That you'll recognize, there'll come to a point where you'll recognize that you can always do more than you think you can.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's the iron puts limits on you, and they're hard to break sometimes.
Yep.
But when you do break them, and you almost surprise yourself sometimes. It happens at times, like, you know, when you go to the gym, you feel great and you
yep.
look like shit.
Yep.
Some days you go to the gym, you feel terrible.
Yep.
And everything, it's like lifting feathers.
I agree with you. Yep.
So. It's what makes it so unique, and you know, only people who truly understand are people who do it, and not just the ones that go to these gyms or so-called gyms nowadays.
Yeah.
But I mean, the guys that really, you know, really test themselves.
Yep.
And I mean test themselves, and only people who test themselves and test their limits. Not just their physical limits, but their mental limits, it's inside their belly, you know what
yep,
I mean? Their
yep,
heart.
Yep, yep.
What's inside their heart. Only those people truly understand what you're talking about.
Yep. And you know, the whole thing here with this stuff, and this is all going to like what we're talking about, building a base, because the only way you're going to build this type of tenacity is you got to jump in the ring. And you know, the quick fixes aren't going to happen. There's going to be an awful lot of failure, and I embrace failure now because failure leads to success. Anybody that's successful out there tells you they never failed. Turn around and go the other way because they're full of crap, all right?
That's right.
But when we talk about squat, deadlift, bench press, overhead, I think this is another thing now. Well, I know it is in a lot of ways, especially like bent rows. Bent rows with either stones, one-arm rows with a conventional or a thick handle. I'm talking dumbbell. And obviously you can do them with an Apollon axle for the straight row. The dip.
That's one of the best exercises you can possibly do.
Okay,
and
safest. But walk into a gym, you're going to see anybody doing them? Hell no.
There's absolutely not.
No, it's
no,
a, it,
no. They're doing those ridiculous back machines and rowing machines that are they're like toys.
They're for
they're
girls.
Even, they're not even weight for weight training or strength training.
No, nope.
They're toys.
Yeah, and you know something? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't care how many back machines you could line up. If you've got a guy doing heavy one arm rows, that guy wins. Period.
Oh yeah. And here's another interesting thing.
And the thick handle ones are really awesome. But
yeah.
I love watching you guys do them on the videos.
Oh, you love my 3-inch one. I think there might be one on there. That's another tip I'll give everybody right now. We'll just veer off a second. I told you we would. grab a thick bar. You don't have you can dictate the limit on what you want to use for weight. You're going to do a clean grip, which means overhand. Grab that thing and spread your fingers out as far as you can when you're trying to hold that. You'll have fingers that'll be like knives on you. They will be so strong and thick, but you got to be very cautious with it. If you overload that bar, well, number one, you probably won't lift it if you don't have the grip. But should you and you do that, you can definitely tear a ligament or whatever. So err on the side of caution with that stuff. But yes, James Fuller, I don't know if you've ever seen him out there, Ned. He's from Maine. If you haven't, you should friend him. This guy is one of the most phenomenal, thick-handled, you name it, side bend lifters in the world. And he is one of the nicest guys, and he's going to come down here probably in November. You ought to see this guy do the old York hubs. He can hub 100-pound. Back, I don't know when it was. I think he said it was the 40s or 30s. They made the York 100s with the big hub in the center.
Yeah. You know what? The Y originally had those plates. I used to love them.
Oh, my God. And the thing is,
I would kill for those plates. Because I'll tell you what, when you're a kid,
yep,
just starting,
yep,
you know, you can't wait to get two of those on the end of the bar.
Hell yeah, man.
You can't
man.
Wait to get three of them on there. And you can't wait to get four of them on there. Because they really looked
yep.
awesome.
Beast.
They were awesome.
Well, he said, you know, and he said the reason they stopped making them is because it was so big, the hubs had a tendency to break, okay? But
yeah.
the bottom line is this. That guy can hub those things. I mean, he is a beast. Now, you're going to love this because this is right.
He can do 100 pounds, Eric?
Yep, he's pulled 100 with it.
Holy shit.
Here's what you're going to love, though. How many people – this reminds me of something like you or I would do. He's got an Apollon – no, he's got the Thomas Inch. I think the original one is – I've got one here. I think you can get him between like 170 to 176. But if I'm right, I think the original one was like 172. And that guy rides around with a Thomas Inch in the passenger seat floor. And it's funnier and shit. And he goes everywhere and he lifts it. I want him to come down here. I want him to work with me with a little bit. You know, not a lot with what I'm doing. But he goes, I can give you some tips. He goes, have you ever lifted? I said, I've pulled it off the ground. But no more than maybe 5 or 6 inches. And that was it. And he says, yeah, he goes, you don't want to be like a lot of these guys that go out and buy the big straps and use a strap. He goes, that's a no-no here. I said, well, when you come down. And he's very excited because he wants to carry stones. I don't know if it passed or not, but Jed Johnson had a, you know, Jed's probably, if not the best, one of the best grip guys in the world too, you know, like Richard Soren, all those guys.
Sure.
And he had a contest, and I don't know if it's past or it's just coming up, and he was going to, I think it was in Pennsylvania, and James was going to drive there, and just real interesting stuff. But as far as the framework for what we're talking about tonight, I don't think it's taught any like it should be anyways, but what's your feeling on those four movements? And as you gradually
must do, they're must do.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't do them, you're wasting your time.
Yep.
And it's sad to see nowadays, and I hate to sound like an old guy, but everybody tells you not to do squats.
Yeah.
They're bad for your back. They're bad for your knees. And,
yep.
And it couldn't be more incorrect.
Yep.
It couldn't be more. Very few guys I've known have hurt their knees squatting.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well.
You know, because if you know how to squat, you're never going to hurt your knee.
No, you're not.
You're never going to hurt your knee, you know, if you're doing them right.
You're going to hurt yourself on one of those shit bag leg presses. That's what you're going to hurt yourself on.
Those things are the worst.
Yeah.
You know, I never liked them. And you know what? And I knew squats were damn hard.
Yeah.
Squats are damn hard. That's why nobody likes them.
Yep.
And you know the gains you got from squats were earned and real.
Yeah.
Real gains.
Yep.
I saw these guys get on the leg press and put like every plate in the gym on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had no legs.
Chicken legs, remember?
They had no legs. I'm like, what the hell? You know, then you would see guys even just doing squats with 275.
Yep.
That had big thick thighs, you know, big thick legs and quads and hams, butts, you know, everything that matters. So you know, those things they're a joke.
Well, I'm not going to say his last name, but I remember you were there when this bodybuilder got in a fight with Bo almost one day, and his first name was Rod.
Yeah,
hey. All right, and I remember you see this dude come in, huge upper body, had no friggin' legs, man. And I remember watching him squat with all this weight, and if he did a quarter with it, he was lucky, you know what I mean? And I was like, holy shit, you know. And this is the thing with people, they don't realize any sport, you've got to have the lower end. You've got to have from the feet your hip girdle is vital. Obviously, your ass, your hams, and all that. But if you don't have that, you're going to – I'll tell you what. You can have the biggest upper body in the world, and you're going to get your ass whipped out there.
Yeah, and Eric, now why – and it just shows you that our whole culture, you can't squat, you can't deadlift. It's bad for you.
Yeah.
But you can do tire flips, which we both like.
Yep.
But tire flips, you're in the same position as deadlifting or squatting. I mean,
yep.
It's the same thing.
Yep. Know,
why aren't they saying that's not bad for you? That's bad for you.
Well, you know what the danger of that stuff is more than anything, and I talk to people all the time about this tire flipping, stone lifting. I've watched a lot of people, especially if you're pulling an Atlas stone, you keep your elbows bent, I guarantee you're going to tear a bicep sooner or later. You got to straddle that Atlas stone. I know a lot of people raise them up, and I think that is probably a good idea at times because it's very hard to get your fingers under there, and I've had them roll on your fingers. You'll blow a fingernail right off you or worse. But
so
when
Eric,
you,
what's the key then? I mean, you just got to keep that crushed to
yeah.
you. It's got to be like part of your body.
Absolutely.
Almost like a front squat.
Yep.
You know, like, I mean, you know, you're not using your arms to hold the bar in the front squat. I mean, you're crushing it against your body. It's
yeah.
Just, is it similar that way?
Yeah. What you're doing
is. I would imagine if you tried to use your arms, first of all, it's ineffective.
Well, it is.
And secondly, the chance of injury is unbelievable.
Well, what you're going to do is when you straddle over this thing, you have your center of your body over that Atlas, let's say. So you're going to get down, like you're saying, almost in a front squat position the way the Atlas stone is there. When you go to pull this thing, it's going to be like pulling a deadlift, basically. You're going to come up straight. Your arms are going to be extended fully. You're going to have to jump down in a front squat position, and that beast is going to be laying in your lap. Then you're going to, as you're coming up with it, you're going to turn your arms over the stone, and if you're putting it on something, you're just pushing it on that object. But you can't, It's a very athletic move. You can't just be a guy, you know, all right, yeah, a Brian Shaw could take it and probably throw it, all right? But
yeah.
Most people aren't 6'7", weighing 440 either, okay? 6'9", 440. But the idea of this is what you got to do. I'll tell you what, I've got it, and I use it in the winter a lot if I can't walk, which we usually walk no matter what. Elite FTS, and I'm not getting paid for any of this, but I want to tell people that want to start the stone lift that maybe don't have money to do it, they make this huge, what would you call it, a loading pin, it looks like. It basically is, and it's got a hell of a collar on it that just clips on. It's a beautiful piece. Most guys use it. They load big plates onto it, and you can make it like an Atlas stone, and you know, you can't go out. Your stones are frozen to the ground. You got something you can lift like that. But the thing with stone lifting, Ned, is this. And all those lifts we talk about, the squat, the deadlift, the bench press, to a point. But overhead is going to really enhance that, too, is this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole thing with this is this. You're going to be able to get into this stuff, and you're going to learn the correct way, because I'm telling you right now, you can muscle it up to a point, but you're going to start failing like crazy. The incidence of getting hurt, especially we're in the Northeast, if you don't have good heat on or even something to break the chill off the room, you better dress with at least 3 or 4 layers on until you're heated up, because the effect of that could be really damaging to you. But I'll tell you what. When you build the base like we're talking about here, when you're taking and learning how to deadlift properly, when you're learning how to bench properly, when you're learning how to go overhead, this is going to enhance anything you want to get into. That's how I started everything out. And I'll tell you one thing. Don't forget this, too. I think dumbbells. I, you know, we used to do some dumbbell work and all that. I've got a picture in the old Colony Athletic. There was one guy with me one day, and I loaded 150. It was in the Milo magazine in probably mid-90s. I did an incline with a 2-inch handle in each hand with a 150-pound dumbbell in each hand and pressed the fucker for a single, man.
I remember that picture. You did it on the platform back, right?
Yep, and the whole gym stopped, dude. They were standing. There was one guy sitting there. I was so pissed he was still in the picture. Everybody was standing to the side, and the guy that helped me when I put him heads up on my thighs, and I had to get this thing up without smashing my face, you know, literally. And he was just there to make sure it laid on my front deltoid. Nobody got behind me, and I pressed him, put him down, and then just, you know, chucked him on the platform. Andrew Derniat, big guy. He owns a gym. He's awesome. This guy, I can't remember. I think he can press with an Olympic bar one-handed, clean and press it. I want to say over 400 pounds.
Jesus.
And he's unreal, man. He's a great guy. And he was telling me he feels the thing that really pushed him over the edge, with because he's a big grip guy too, all that, was the one-arm bent row with the dumbbell. Nothing against the other, but you know, if you remember stuff like any of the old school, Hermann Görner, big German lifter, monster one-hand guy, big dumbbell guy. I mean, dumbbells have their enhancement. I had a program we were doing here where we did everything. It was called one-sided training. Everything we did, even right down to the squat, was dead stop. And what we did here, say I did the left side of my body. I'd go in the power rack with an Apollon axle because I wanted to keep everything thick. I wanted to have limiting factors too on me because you can really mess yourself up easily like that. So I would do a dead stop squat with it on the one side of the shoulder, get under it. You'd have an arm in the front, and you would hold it like that, and you'd come off the rods. You want to talk about a balancing act. And a real feat of old-time strength, okay? Then the other stuff I would do a one-arm row. And when you come down, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. We got a big water sand-filled keg right by the garage door when you open it up inside. Beautiful thing to brace your body against when you're pulling a 2-inch handle dumbbell. And then this thing is, like, insane. I designed this this apparatchik that goes the width of the power rack, where it's all built, the width, it's the full width of the rack, and it has the center opened up all the way down, and it has these two big cylinders where the rods go through. They pin in the back, and this thing sits in any hole you want, and I'll dead stop 2-inch dumbbell press from any height I want, and you get to brace your hand, the other hand, against the rack itself, and it's unmerciful, and it's such a meaty way to train. I mean, when you can grab a 4x4 post, you know, and you're doing, I do grip work with it. I squeeze my fingers right through that side of the post when I'm pressing the dumbbell up through the bottom. It's just incredible, man, and it's like, all these things that we've lost, or these guys and gals that are doing this stuff in Nowhereville, and then we come out with it, and people are like, holy shit, like, I don't know if you saw it, and I want to get back to you talking. I put up, I don't know if I tagged you in or not, we built a very interesting dumbbell 2 weeks ago, and it's here.
I saw it.
Okay.
Square handle dumbbell.
Insane. Okay. It's insane. It's got the same box tubing as, it's 1.5 inches, and we went down to Albany Steel, and they, my buddy's a welder, and he said, do you know that this was literally the thickness of the steel that they were cutting this shit out of? I said, no way. He goes, I'm telling you. They had pallets of them. That one is 60 pounds a hit on the end. It's 125 altogether, 124.
That's how much that weighs?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And it's as dead as can be. It is dead, man, and it will try to twist in your hand and everything. And there's, I got guys, I'm going to come down and press it. I said, be my guest. You know what I mean? I said, I'm going to tell you this. It's not like a regular 124-pound loaded dumbbell. This thing is the most dense. It is like a Thomas Inch, but in a different way. Now, they had...
I tell you, you know what, Eric? I don't know if it's just the way it looked on the picture.
Yeah.
But it looked like smaller.
Yeah. It is.
I had no idea it was that heavy.
Yeah, it's very small.
Boy, is it compact.
That's what I was just going to say. And believe it or not, they have stuff double and bigger than that size laying on the pallets, man.
And you're already thinking, aren't you?
Yeah, because you know what we're thinking. I want to make a short deadlifting. Yeah. Yeah. I've been looking around. We're looking at junkyards, we're looking on the net. We're looking for some of those wheels, you know, like what's the famous lifter from Canada? How can I forget him?
Hepburn?
No, the Louis
Louis Sear.
Yeah, Louis Sear.
Yeah.
Well, you know that bar they've got there that they've used, you know, John Paul and all them when they had World's Strongest Man, or they had that same thing. They've gone up, different lifters have gone up and lifted that thing that Sear had.
I see a picture. Remember the guy, the Mighty Adam?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember seeing him, a picture of him, I think, squatting those big wagon wheels, those iron wheels, man.
Well, we want to build one for deadlifting here.
Oh wow, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Well, that's
good. Man, you could probably get them. You know, those old military cannons.
Hey, yeah. Imagine that, trying to shoulder that and walking down Sard Road. Hey, APD would be here in a heartbeat. They've been here already many times for noise. So you know what I mean. I figured with the tire flipping, some asshole would call. You know, as it sounds kind of like King Kong walking down the street at some points when you hear that big slap hitting the ground. But
that's awesome.
You know something, man? That's what it's all about. You know, build the base, take those four movements or whatever you want to do.
Bang.
Right?
You got to put them. Look at Eric. All that work you did in the traditional weightlifting lifts.
Yep.
All those years, barbells and dumbbells.
Yep.
You were putting money in the bank.
Yep.
That's going to help you walk that sheep pen.
Yep.
In next year.
Yep. Yep.
You know what? If you didn't build that base,
nah.
You have no business even trying.
No, I wouldn't be able to lift a pebble, let alone a stone, man. See, this is why it's very interesting. You know, we were talking about the grip and everything before. Now, Bill Crawford, who I was telling you about, He's in New Hampshire, and you ought to see the setup he's got with the stones and the gym and all that. And, you know, he's had a lot of accomplished power lifters, strong men. You know, I don't mean strong men in the sense of stone lifters come over, and they're accomplished lifters. I mean, they've pulled huge weights. He's told me there's been guys that couldn't even yank a 230 Atlas off the ground. I mean, they're literally bleeding, you know, in the hands, and they get really pissed off. And,
well, it's
you know,
like anything else, Eric. I mean, it's just like you said earlier. I mean, lifting that stone, it's not just a deadlift into a front squat.
Right.
It's an athletic talent that you have to develop. I mean, it's no different than shooting a 3-pointer or hitting a baseball.
Yep.
I mean, just because you're strong doesn't mean you're going to be able to hit a baseball.
Exactly.
It's a skill that you have to practice and develop.
Yep.
But if you have all that money in the bank, like we just said,
yep,
from all that heavy lifting, if you're a great lifter,
yep,
you know, if you put the time in, and that's the whole thing, you're going to have to be patient. You're not going to walk in unless you're one of those, you know, very, very lucky guys like Shaw and the rest of that crew.
Yep. Well, you know who I think was like that at one time, Ned? Because obviously he was with Kaz. I think Sheedy at one time had that potential.
Yeah. She definitely had the potential.
Yeah, yep. He just couldn't do it mentally. Mentally, it just wasn't for him, I don't think, you know? Because
and that's exactly what the Kaz told both of me. You know, we talked about Sean Coleman earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I tell you what, I hope you get to get Sean on.
Yep.
Because he's probably the most intelligent lifter that I've ever met.
Incredible.
You know, and the results shows. I mean, here he is 30-something years later.
Yep, yep.
Where everybody else is got no knees, hips. They've had everything replaced. They can't go to the gym.
Yep.
You know, because they can't do what they used to do. You know, you see them in Price Chopper, they start crying about how
God.
Because you were stupid.
Yep.
Because you were stupid.
Yep.
And I think, you know, if you don't make these certain adjustments along the way, that's what happens. And it takes a strong person to do that. And I'm not talking physically, mentally.
No, and that's what keeps you in the game.
But
because,
I'm telling you, Sean.
Yeah.
Sean is just such an intelligent lifter.
We'll get him on.
You got to get him on.
Yeah.
You'll love him. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, look at I held the meet down at the plaza, and he deadlifted 835. And that kid never took nothing, Eric.
No, I know. He was clean. Yeah, I know.
He's been drug-free his whole career. And that's why he's here 35 years later.
Yep.
Total and still, he jumped into a meeting and did 2,000, you know, over 2,000.
Well, he's got to have a lot of heart because we know that – I can tell you from not only weights but from stones will take your damn heart, man. They will take you. And
he's always been, you know what, the best guys are always the most determined.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just, you know what, that bar's not coming off the floor, that stone's not coming off the floor.
Nope.
Unless every fiber in your body
is
telling it to get off the floor.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Steve Jack used to say, stones are just plain out defiant, man. They dare you. You know, to try to pick them up. I mean, like I was saying during the show and to you off before we came on the air, you know, I love to hear Clint talk like that. I mean, you know, when I go by my stones every day, I stop and say something to each one and put my hand on it. That's no bullshit, man. And he tells me, it's funny as hell, he said, I'll be driving by him or walking by him. He goes, they say things to me, I know it. And I'm like, you better be careful. If somebody, the wrong person hears you, you'll be lifting stones. But it's true, man.
It's the one constant in your life.
Yep, yep. Hey, I'll tell you what, Ned.
No matter what that bar is loaded to or the stone weighs, it'll always be there. And you got all this other shit going on in your life. And whatever else. What's the one thing you can count on?
Yep,
that
the weights.
Bar.
Yep.
You know, that 400-pound bar,
yep,
it's going to feel – you know how it's going to feel.
Hell yeah.
It feels that way.
And, you know, we've talked about this before, and, you know, you hear people this, that, and the other thing. I don't go much on what anybody says anymore, especially nowadays. And they're like, well, what if you couldn't do it anymore? I said, I don't know what would happen to me. I would probably fly off Thatcher Park's highest peak. I don't know. this is me. This is not the separation most people think it is. The weights don't end because the gym door closes, all right? I mean, this is what I want to do for my profession the rest of my life, and I want to build.
It's your life. It's not even, you know what, Eric?
Yeah.
It's not even your profession. It's your life.
Yeah, and I love it.
It's who you are.
Yeah, it's like you, man. I mean, you've been doing this since the day I met you. I mean, I had heard about you. I know your brother John, obviously. You know, everybody heard about you. It was always the big neck. Ned's got one of the biggest necks I've ever seen in my life, man.
Not anymore.
Well, it don't matter. I mean, in his day, if you want to say that, this guy had it looked like a neck on a bull, literally. And well, I'll tell you what, though, when you came in somewhere, the first thing you notice is a neck. And to me, the neck is a sign of strength, man. You don't fool around with people with necks like that at all, because they are very strong individuals. And the point of the matter is, with all this stuff, that's what we're talking about here with the base, with all these other little things that we love to play with that were all built from the base. The greatest thing of all is, I hope before I'm gone and Ned's gone and everybody and with all the people on and off the show, it's not even a hope, it's a dream of mine. I dream of getting as many people as we can involved with this stuff, because don't listen to all the naysayers out there or what they say. Once you get involved in this stuff and you get around the right people, you'll thank the stars, man, that you finally bought into it, because not enough people out there know how great we do. And I don't even want to call it a sport, because it's more than a sport. It's your life. It's what you are. It's your identity. These are all things people frown upon now. But, you know, go ask the average individual what they think of themselves. What do you do? Are you happy with what you do? Do you love what you do? Will you want to pass it on? They'll look at you like you're speaking Swahili, man. You know, and you know from doing this, I mean, you've been a dedicated guy. Well, I mean, now you're working with some of the best, the Warriors, but you know, long before you even got into this, man, you knew what the deal was with it. I mean, you and I have said it. I've said it to other people. I can remember. We used to. I'll get right to you too. I remember this guy, Craig Morrison. We used to go down to his place and lift. He was a real older guy from the Y days with Joe White and all those guys, Tommy Piazza, all those guys. Because we were talking about him the other night, and he had a health food store out in East Greenbush, and he goes, come on out, I got some new protein drink. You know, it was one of those ones in a can, and I was like, okay. So we bought a case of it, and when we used to go down there, we'd be driving down in this old beat-up car of mine where you could hardly see the road. We used to call it the raccoon car because the lights pointed up in the trees, and you could usually see that, but you couldn't see the road, all right? So there we are drinking these things, man, and throwing the cans in the back seat and laughing all the way down. You know when you drink something like that, and you get up to that light, and your stomach's going, it's gurgling. I'm like, we had to stop at the nearest McDonald's, all right? And so now it's starting already. I'm like, okay. So we get down there. Obviously, you had to go again. This stuff was total garbage. But I'm going to tell you the point, and we'll see what Ned says. We used to say this, and I know other guys did. We'd eat shit if it would make us big.
That's right.
Right? Tell everybody. I mean, what at that point in your life when you're training, you would have done anything, wouldn't you, pretty much?
Oh, man. Back then, it was crazy, the stuff they had. Remember I remember the one protein was that they had all the Huffman products.
Oh! Boy,
they were the worst tasting things.
You know what we used to call that shit? Huffman car wash, off the car wash shit. Oh my God. I think that stuff was, we got into the tail end of a lot of that. That was bad, man. Bad.
Yeah. And I remember Paul Salisbury telling me when he worked at York.
That, oh, he did?
It was just garbage. It was like soybeans and sugar.
All the good shit to make your...
stuff they used to feed the pigs.
Yeah, and anybody that doesn't know, soybeans will take your manhood and kill you.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I know. I just read a huge article on how men should never eat soybeans.
Never, 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 never. And I'll tell you another thing. There's a couple things out there that are very good to keep estrogens down, because we did a great show. I'll tell you a book. I'm going to say this at the end. Jack Donovan is a hell of a writer, and he writes all manly stuff. And he just put a book out. I got it. I'm almost done with it. It's called Becoming a Barbarian. And most of his books are of that ilk. I'm telling any guy out there, I mean, locally, I went and ordered it from the bookhouse because I wasn't going to pay. It's not a real thick book, and I wasn't going to pay $15 to have it shipped here when it costs $14 and change. So I'm over halfway through it. Anybody that's got any manhood in them, you're going to read that book. Your face is going to start getting flushed, and your blood, you're going to hear it flowing. It is literally that good. And we're going to try to get Jack on here, but how I found out about it, I don't know if you've ever listened to him. If you haven't, you got him, man. Dr. William Wong. Oh, my God, dude. I've known him probably 20 years. He's got some of the finest supplements, and he sponsors me for Iceland. And he is one of the authorities on manhood. And you ought to hear the stuff if you get insulted, I would say don't listen. And I mean it. We did a show. He's probably the foremost authority on systemic enzymes. You know, like everybody loves Wobazyme and all that. This stuff makes that look heartless, man. So we did a half a show on that. And then we did a show called Submission. And he and I got going again. And I would say that was we probably went a little bit too hard on language, but it was like me and him were probably like ready to pick swords, shields, and horses and go. You know, it was like that. And that was the book he recommended to all the family and everybody here. I will tell everybody, you'd be a fool not to pick that book up. That book is insane. I love it. So that's one of the great things about it. I know we're getting near time, and I don't want to take your whole night up, but I could talk to you probably till 11 o'clock. Here's the main thing. At this point, obviously, we want to build the base. We know we got to get into the mental end of things. As you're doing all this stuff, and now let's look at other things. You know, maybe we want to start doing some tire flipping or farmer's walks or yoke walks. We want to kind of start building a little bit more around the nucleus here. What do you think, like, time-wise, and would you suggest to people maybe start bringing one of those movements in after you've got a few years under your belt? How would you do that with training-wise, Ned?
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I don't know. You know what, Eric? I found that the stuff that builds your base,
yep,
is something you always have to do.
Yep.
You know, it's good to bring things in. All those things are great, of course.
Yeah.
And it's good to bring them in, but you never can wander too far away from those base movements.
I agree.
It's summertime is a great time to do different things.
Yep.
I always thought, you know, it's a good, you know, it gets hot as hell and humid,
yep,
and everything else. It's good to do other things and then, you know, be fresh when the fall comes. I always used to love fall coming.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like your body, you know, you paid your dues in the summer and now your body was ready to roll.
Yep.
And I just think that you never, you know, I'm 58 years old and
yep,
I'm still doing the same movements I did when I was 16 at the Y in the dungeon.
Yep.
You know, you still squat. You still do your bench. You still do something off the floor. You do your one-arm row, heavy one-arm rows, whatever, your overheads.
Yep.
You know, there's other times when you do other things where you do a lot of dumbbell stuff. You'll try a little while for you to do some dumbbells. But, man, you know what? You never go away from that squat. You never go too far from that squat rack, man.
Yep.
And, you know, so, I don't know. That's just – I don't know if I ever would put a time frame on it or anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
your body almost tells you when to shift things.
Yep.
If you're listening, you know, I mean, when you're young, you don't really have developed that yet. But especially as you get older, your body will tell you even when to stop.
Yeah.
doing these reps. Like, yep. This rep range ain't doing. I got to change things up. I'm going to do less reps.
Yep.
More sets, less reps.
Yep.
Or I'll do less sets, more reps. And you know, it's almost like you develop an instinct, a training instinct.
Yep.
That your body will tell you when to shift gears and what to do. It's usually seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, as insane as that sounds.
Yep.
Why would it be seasonal? I mean, this is the best time to train. It's just started.
Yeah.
It's just started. You know, now's the time when you start eating good.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing less because, you know, the weather sucks.
Yep. Yep.
And it's the best time, man. It's the best. I almost used to hate when the weather started getting better in May.
Yeah. It gets too warm, man. It's like I was out last night.
There was other things you needed to do.
Yeah.
You know, and all that other stuff. It took you away. You know, when it was cold and nasty, you know, and man, just going to the gym was the best.
Yeah.
And would come home and eat like, you know, just eat like a barbarian.
And you hell just
couldn't wait to get back to the gym and climb into the rack or whatever. I mean, that was, you know, that was just the greatest feeling. And I think it, you know, that those results are just true. I mean, if you listen to, you know, now it's great when these old bodybuilders are all old and retired.
Yeah.
And what do they talk about? They talk about when they started and how great it was.
Yeah.
To go heavy.
Yeah. It is.
You know, and then you know, then they get, you know, they don't even want to talk about all the routines they did when they were training for Mr. Olympia or any
right,
of that. They
right.
wanted to talk about when they started.
Yeah.
And where what got them to the point where, okay, they had to shift gears
yep.
and do this other shit.
Yep.
It was in a gym like I was I listened to Dave Draper a lot.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's got a great online thing and
yep.
You know, he's just so he talks the same language as everybody
yeah.
else. He's
yeah.
one of us. And
yeah.
You know, he just the fact that he used to love getting up early in the morning and getting to the gym before everybody else.
Yep.
Because he wanted to touch the bar first.
Yep.
He didn't
yep.
want anybody else to touch that bar before him because he thought it would take the power away from the bar.
I believe all that, too.
And, hey. You know, I'll tell you what. And to this day, you know, people are saying, okay, what worked best for you? And you know what he says? Squats.
Yeah.
Behind neck press.
Yeah.
Bench press. He didn't like bench press. He liked inclines.
Yep.
And deadlifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he says, and then you know what? Maybe some curls.
Yeah. Throw them in for good luck. No, and yeah,
on days off when you're gonna rest.
Yeah.
Do some dips.
Yeah.
Chins.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, and I go, you know what? And that stuff. You know, that's how he started in the '60s.
Yep.
And here we are, 60 years later, almost.
Yeah.
And it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, everything old is new.
Yep.
The whole kettlebell revolution.
I know. Yeah.
The kettlebell revolution.
Yeah.
We had kettlebells down at the Albany Y.
Yep.
Yep. You had to construct, and if you used them, you were going to kill yourself. But I mean, the Russians and the York guys.
Yep.
Were doing kettlebells.
Yep.
You know, in the early 1900s in the
yep.
World War II era. I mean,
yep.
Like, come on.
Well, you know, it became something that really made a lot of people a lot of money, and it became
yeah.
very popular. Look, I don't think anything replaces a barbell. All right, yeah. Now we talk dumbbells, stones, and all that, but let's face it: the advent of the barbell was everything. I think, you know, if you're smart, you get a rack just for protection if you're alone.
Oh, that's you know what, Eric? That's the most important thing,
yeah.
other than the barbell, the rack.
Yeah, that's it. And go out and buy used. You can find plates all over the place, man.
Man, I wish I had them old York Hub plates.
Oh, I wish I had a set. I've got.
315 looked like 700.
Oh, it was brutal. Hey, you know,
not like those phony CrossFit rubber plates they use.
Oh, and with the holes in them where you get to pick them up.
It looks like 900. It's like 125.
Yeah, what a bunch of pussies, man.
Oh, I hate it.
You know,
I hate it.
But you know what the thing is? I've got a lot of the old. Were they billiard? What were the ones that were the deep dish? I've got every one from the steel from Colony Athletic in my garage. It's got the hub in the center, and I can't think of the name of them.
They were the ones we got from China.
Well, was it? All right,
yeah,
then
we got the delivery, and it had all Chinese writing written.
I don't even want to know that.
Yeah, we had some guy from the restaurant down the street. he got arrested for for burning his restaurant down. he was from China. I go, what does that say? He goes, I can't say it.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's like, F you, American, buy my damn plates, man. You know,
I said, I don't think it said it. It probably said, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Jane or something. I don't know.
I love Jane.
I think he was just probably, you know, getting us pissed off. But he got hit and he tried to burn his restaurant.
Yeah, he went to jail and had a party for sure.
They had pictures of him at the Sunoco.
What a stupid ass, man.
Filling up the cans he was using.
You know, I tell you, most of these guys are just flat out stupid. But you know what? The play. But this is the funny thing. You know, when you talk about just going heavy, and I love that, man. Maybe the next show we'll do a show just going heavy. You know, going home and drinking the rotten protein drinks. But you're saying to yourself, getting bigger. We'd get up in the middle of the night, man. And we go downstairs in the bathroom down there, because if the old man heard us, he'd be like, uh-oh. We go and get our – that's when Gainer's Fuel started getting popular in the 80s. And we used to put our blender – my mother had a hamper in the bathroom there. We'd stick our blender in there, plug it in over the sink, and we'd be making shakes like at 2 o'clock in the morning and chugging them down so we didn't get caught, right? And I think about that stuff, and I'm like, I wonder if anybody's even doing shit like that anymore. You know, it was like whatever it took.
Like I was explaining the same situation. I go, you know, because they got these NutriBullets nowadays, which are spectacular.
Yep.
Because I can't tell you how many blenders I've destroyed.
Oh, I burned them up.
Life.
Yep.
If I had the money back from all those freaking blenders I destroyed, I could buy a car.
I'll tell you a quick story. You'll love this. This blender I had, it was a good one. I only paid like $23 for them because I bought bar blenders, burned them out, all kinds of shit. So one night, it was when Iron Mind, when Randy Strassen was selling Blair's Protein again before he brought his own in. And I always, you know, I got a lot of the old Iron Man, Perry Rader era magazines, and I was always reading about Rio Blair and the protein and getting big and Larry Scott and all the cool shit.
Yeah.
He's selling it in the can. And I'm like, I got to order some of this. So I order it, and I said, wow, this tastes good, man. So I go out and do the thing Rio Blair says. I mix heavy cream in it with some raw milk. So it says, you know, you should only take like a quarter of a cup. Of course, me, I said, fuck this. I'm throwing a full cup in, right? So the blender was kind of on its way out. I plug the thing in, put the milk and the cream in it, and I dump, like, instead of using my head, I just take and dump the whole goddamn cup in. Of course, it like hiccups and knocks some of it right out in the air, right? And I'm hearing the blender, and it's going like that, and the next thing I know, you can smell all the inside burning on it. It started smoking, and I had to turn it off, man. So I got a Rio Blair basically pudding protein drink, which was out of this world, and I almost set my house on fire. So what do you think? I mean, it's like, holy shit. But that's what I'm saying. Is anybody doing the shit we used to do? That's what I want to know.
Are you kidding me, Eric?
Oh, my God. Ned, it was, you know something? It was like everything you read, whether it was bullshit or not, always told you could do it. Go and try to find three magazines, if you can even find anything that's worthy out there, and you'll be lucky if it's not take this, that, and the other thing, or you can't do this, or if you want to do this, it's going to take you 100 years. I never remember reading shit like that, man. It was always like, go after it, go for it. This is what you got. You know what I mean? Take your liver pills, you know, as Garanda said, you know. Get your liver.
Desiccated liver, man.
Yeah, carry liver. I used to have liver on me. I still have liver. I still take NSP liver. And glandulars, you know. If you're not going to eat raw.
Yep,
right.
Yep.
Yeah, you know something? People don't realize this. This is all tried and true stuff that worked, man. You know what I miss more than anything, but you can get them from there? Remember the old chewable protein tablets?
Yeah.
You can get them from there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start getting, because you know what I used?
A health food store off of North Pearl Street.
Yeah.
They used to sell those.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would go there. I was training. Me and Artie Kitchen were training together.
Yep.
And he would chat up the girl behind the counter. And I'd be putting cans of the protein tablets in my, you know, in my.
They were giving away free that day.
Yeah, and then we'd buy like one bar between us.
Yeah, and you just, and you, and, right, and you just took $27 worth for a buck. That's a good deal.
And we'd go back every month to get our supply.
Oh, man,
same routine for like a year, Eric.
Oh my God, and we used to fill our pockets.
I was the most disappointed guy in Albany when I went down there one day and I saw it was closed.
Oh.
And Artie goes, you know what? I wonder if it's because of us.
It probably was. You broke him, man. Either that or that girl got busted for him, and she was in prison doing 10 to life, man. You know,
maybe she tried to burn that place.
But that's the thing. It was all these characters. It was, you know, we at one time. I don't know if Joey was doing it with us. He might have been here a few times. We had blenders out in the garage. We were mixing drinks because it was like. Drink protein, or, you know, when they would always talk about drinking gallons of milk during your routine, we'd be out there whipping shakes up, drinking them. It would go one or two ways. Either you could lift or you throw up.
That's
great. You're trying to lay that type of stuff. Yeah, I've got the best memories of lifting, and I want to create more and more in my life, but let me tell you, man, the things you did to get big. The basic things you did to get big, and just the fun of trying to guess it or just be so blind stupid about it that you were successful with it. And that was the fun of it all, you know.
And the fun part was how people were free.
Yeah.
Like your parents and your relatives.
They
thought you were just out of your freaking mind.
Yep.
If I had $10 every time my mother said that I needed a psychiatrist... I'd be a millionaire.
No shit, because you go somewhere and it'd always be like, do you want to be built like that? I'm like, no, I don't. I just did it for the fuck of it, right? You know, I mean, it's like, you don't, see, you know what it is more than the lifting too? It's just the damn discipline you create, and it's like that commitment to life, and it's like, even though we didn't know that back then, we hadn't figured it out by then, but now as you're an adult, quote unquote, as I like to say, you realize what that stuff really did for you, man.
You know what? It formed a foundation, the base that those lifts form for your training and for your success in as a strength athlete or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The determination and your discipline.
Yep.
That set the base for your entire life. Everything you do the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
That disciplined attitude. About everything, the way you face adversity.
Yep.
Let's face it, none of us are exempt from any adversity, that's for sure.
No, not at all. No.
But I'll tell you what, that's what's great about lifting. I mean, it just teaches you so many life lessons, you know?
Yeah.
I'm talking about that all the time with my kids, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you got to learn these life lessons through things.
Yeah.
Not everything is going to be, like they said, like the Rocky thing,
yep.
Sunshine and roses.
That's right.
Very rarely the case.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. Learn.
Get used to the fact
yep.
that every day life is going to throw stuff at you
yep.
that you're going to have to deal with.
Yep.
And you deal with it head on.
Yeah. I you couldn't say more sage words there. It's like I tell that to my nieces and nephews, and, you know, don't shy away from failure and don't shy away from any type of adversity because sooner or later you're going to face up with something that's going to grab you by the throat and you're going to have to grab it back that much harder and you're going to have to succeed. I've said this before. Get to the point. I'll tell you, I'd have you involved in the project without a doubt. I really want to set up almost a type of, well, we'd probably have to do it with some type of an MP3 the way the world is now with the downloading. I mean, you can do things like on through Google or you go around and go to schools, as you know, you've done all that. But I really want to do some stuff like what we talk about with the younger kids, with the younger athletes, with building the base, with doing things of this nature, because as you and I know from being in lifting for so long, and you just explain what it does for you, well, you know what? They need to, this to be explained to them. Parents are only going to go so far, yeah, you know.
You're 100%
yeah,
right, Eric,
yeah,
because
yeah.
I'll tell you what, you know what, everybody's down on the young generation, and
yep.
myself included sometimes, but
yep.
I'll tell you what, I think they really are searching
yeah,
for
they
the
are.
Type of structure
yep.
that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Because without that structure, you're just floating around like a little flower. Anything
yep.
that comes your way just
yep.
destroys you, whatever.
Yep. Yep.
You know, structure is everything, and
it
determination
is.
To overcome adversity, and just the fact that so many kids nowadays, if they don't think they can do it, they won't even try.
They won't try, right? They drop
well, I
out.
Mean, if you don't try, you're not gonna do it.
Yeah.
You could try it a million times and give it your best, and you know you might do it, but if you don't try,
yep.
you're never gonna do it. You're never gonna do it, and. You know, so many kids. I don't know. It's just
well,
sad that
it is
that there's not more. I think kids are searching for it.
Yep.
And they're looking for it. And I don't know if the parents, you know, everything being politically correct.
Oh,
know,
I know. Yep.
And,
yep.
and all this,
yep.
whatever. It's the pussification of America.
Yep.
I don't know. It's sad. Sad.
Yeah, but you know something? We've got the podium here to change a lot of things, and that's what I like to do. And that's going to be something in 17 we're going to really start exploring big time, because strength to me is universal, all right? And this is what we can do. But look, this will be another time we hit it. Ned, give out.
It was awesome talking to you, my friend.
Well, just stay on the line 1 minute. I want to give it. But give out your website for Warriors, and then I'll
okay.
finish up.
It's warriorsonwheels.org.
Okay. And this is
I can't wait to drive by your street and see the APD down there. I'll know that you're having a great workout.
Well, all right. Well, this is Motivation Muscle. This is streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Go out and check out all of our free downloads. There's four of them there. All you got to do is leave your email address, and away you go. Also, go out and check out the podcast, the category /podcast there. You can go out and get a wealth of information. I'll have this show up quickly. You're going to hear some real good stuff. Also, too, motivationmuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. As you know, we're in multiple directories now with this streaming show. We're on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha Radio, which is in your car, which all new cars have the ability to get podcasting. The company is AHA, Aha. Also, too, if you'd like a show, Ned's going to be doing more shows. If there's something you'd like to hear from us and talk about, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. I'll leave you with these five things. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of wisdom, inspiration. Five words can change your life. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift, lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, push it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And it's a great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. And as I say and what I live by, it's called dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as excuse me, and as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear I see testosterone dripping through my speakers. We'll say that for the next 30 years, and I thank you for that. As Frank Klein said, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad always said, be a leader, not a follower. And John Ridge always said, keep smiling, try that. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road. Tell 100 of your friends about us, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the damn thing through, and we want you to join our family and join our revolution. Ned, once again, it's been a pleasure. It's always great to talk to you, brother.
Same here, Eric. It's awesome talking to you, and keep those videos coming, man.
You got it. There's going to be much more. Okay, so for Ned Norton, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening, and we will get Ned back on soon. Keep doing the great things you do. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.